Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. One of my favorite books, maybe yours as well, if I were to say there was a favorite, that's the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. But in relation to, and I'm going to drop just a little nugget on you. You can do your own study with it, but I always encourage you to do your own research, do your own study, because many times, well, let me start with this. How many understand that in the beginning was the Word? Ever before we had anything written was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word, come on, say that, the Word is, come on, say, the Word is God. Was, is, the Word is God. Now, this is not for everybody, but some can grab what I'm saying here. Oftentimes, God will speak to you when you haven't read it in here, in the Logos, because the kingdom is within you. And there are times God wants to give you revelation from within. There are times he'll give you revelation as you read the Word. Because the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And the kingdom's on the inside of us. Understand that. But the thing is that the revelation God gives to you will not contradict what's written here. Okay, that's we always want to use that as a guidepost, as a benchmark, and as a direction. The Word God never contradicts himself. You have people that make those claims, but they don't know. They don't even know God. I was looking at something, and I find it very interesting. And again, I'm just going to drop a nugget on you, because I know a lot of you really like to study. And, you know, in your time, do some research and let the Lord and the Word speak to you as well, because we're going to eventually delve into this subject maybe after this series here. But it is interesting how in Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse number 8, I'm just going to touch this, then I'm going to run, okay? We're going to go into this other. But I like to stir. I like when people stir my curiosity too. You know, get me hungry for something. Verse 8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads." What I want to just stir you up in your curiosity is that it says here, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. He planted a garden eastward in Eden. Now we normally we'll call, you know, this whole portion, we'll call it the Garden of Eden, right? I'll take a little closer look. He planted a garden in Eden. And he placed the man in the garden. But the garden was eastward in Eden. I feel the wheels churning. See, we always call it the Garden of Eden. But no, it says he planted a garden eastward in another place called Eden. And he placed the man not in Eden, but in the garden. And the garden was in Eden. And then he goes on to say how there was a river that came out of Eden to water the garden, But then it went out of the garden, as we read, and it went into to water the whole earth, actually. And this, to us, has a lot of spiritual meaning. There's a lot of spiritual understanding we can glean from this. But I just wanted to throw that out to you. It ain't a bone. It's full of meat. So that you can take a closer look at that. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. If you want to go a little further, and you can take this a lot of different places, but if you go a little further, eastward in Eden, how many know everything starts in the east? Everything begins in the east. So he planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he placed the man there in an order. Remember we looked at the trees of the garden and what the trees could symbolize? But he placed the man in the garden that was eastward, where the sun rises, where there's the beginning, the daybreak, the start of stuff. But anyway, there's a river that flows out, and it flows in the four heads. If you do any study on the heart, there are four chambers to the heart. Proverbs tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Come on, somebody. We are just going to Eden, huh? So it's telling us something here. That has nothing to do with apples. Come on. Amen. We'll, there's a lot more to it. I tell you, the book of Genesis is fascinating. Skip back to verse number 5 of that same chapter. I'm going to tease you some more. It says in verse number 5, and every plant... every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, I want you to notice something here in verse 5. It says, and every plant of the field. Now, you're talking about a plant of the field, right? Before it was in the earth. Say what now? It's coming from somewhere, but before it was in the earth. It says that, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. You know, I'm beginning to discover and believe even what God formed the man of the dust of the ground was not just mud and clay like we like to think, you know, just dirt. That the atmosphere was in such, because see, the garden was in Eden. And Eden is a delightful place. And you look at Ezekiel, you see that there was an Eden in heaven. We did a little study on that last time. There was an Eden there. So all this is proceeding from an Eden. In other words, God planted a garden eastward. He brought Eden into the earth. Part of heaven. Into the earth, and he planted the garden there and put the man in the garden eastward in Eden. I better stop. Say amen, somebody. Tonight we're going to take a look at what I've entitled Spiritual Space. Spiritual Space. You know, one thing nature abhors is a vacuum. Nature will not suffer a vacuum. nothing's going to stay empty long. Something's going to fill it up. Whether for good or evil, light or darkness, there's nothing neutral. Nature's that way. So we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual space. Let me say some things that I said last time we met on Wednesday last week about the vibrations and the importance of the bandwidth of glory. You remember that? When God spoke the universe into existence, his entire bandwidth of glory was made physical. From his glory. Now, the glory that we talk about are all frequencies. Everything's on a frequency. Everything is made by God. Ain't nothing that wasn't made by God. Now, the devil has tried to tarnish and taint and, you know, bring darkness and all that into it. But everything that's created is created by God. It's just that because of sin, death and all the, you know, shortness of life, all this stuff, sickness, disease, all this entered in because of that. But it wasn't originally made like that. And so all of the bandwidth of God's glory, which is all frequencies. Somebody say all frequencies. This is why we cannot allow people to put us in the box of religious thinking or traditional thinking, that God can only do this way. This the way I believed all my life, and this the only way I born this, I'm going to live this, I'm going to die this. You got people that mindset, that they keep or try to keep God in a box. God is totally creative. As I said last time, your fingerprints, nobody's ever had them. Isn't that amazing? All the billions and billions of people that have lived, nobody's ever had your fingerprints. How could this be? Snowflakes. If you ever pick up snow when it's fresh, when it first falls, look at the flakes. How could it be? All the snow that falls around the world and not one snowflake is like, wait a minute. That kind of, you know, that's beyond, that's exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think, because God is totally creative. The enemy always wants you to put him in some kind of box. Put some type of limitations on God. Tell somebody right now, God can do anything. I believe we're entering into a season where we're going to see God do a lot of stuff that we didn't know he could do, you know, that he would do that. And we will still be asking, how in the world did he do that? Tell somebody right now, get ready for some creative things to happen. You're not going to understand it. See, God's got your timing in his hand. Tell somebody, my times are in his hands. God knows when you need it, knows you don't see it. Amen. Knows you're under pressure for it, but right at the right time, bingo. There it is. You didn't see it coming. You still don't know how it got there, but God was dealing with them folk on the other side of the world on your behalf. Amen. The angels are at work for you. Amen. God doesn't leave any vacuums. When you don't see him, tell somebody he's working.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.
Is your financial strategy in tune with your values? At Thrivent, we believe money is a tool, not a goal. Thrivent is a holistic financial services organization that helps you achieve your financial goals and put your purpose into action. You can reach us at 772-408-0771.